This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union, this is the Taxi Dave Show.
That's it, baby, when you got it flaunted! Flaunted!
Ride on top with you. Ride on top with love. Ride on down, fool.
It's Sunday night, and this is the place to be, WOR 710. You're listening to the Taxi Dave Show, and I'm Taxi Dave. We're here with Frank Finizia. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing way well, David. How are you?
Okay, boy, we missed you last week. I heard you had a little trouble on a plane.
Believe me, did I miss you.
Well, we'll hear... I'll tell you what, let's not keep everybody in suspense. I thought you were flying out, like, early afternoon.
Me too.
From where'd you fly out of?
I flew out of lovely Newark Airport.
And you were headed to Texas, right?
I was headed to Texas flying into Dallas.
And what time was the flight supposed to take off?
The flight was supposed to take off at 2:18.
Okay. Plenty of time to get to Texas and then remotely come on the radio show.
Absolutely. So, that was the plan.
So what time did you get to your hotel in Texas?
So I got to my hotel in Texas a little bit before 9. So... Yeah, so if you subtract a 20-minute taxi ride, it would have left me time, and you know, so best laid plans of mice and men to be able to call in under normal circumstances, or even reasonably.
Okay. Now, you might have caused a little bit of trouble by just standing your ground on the plane for something that you believed in. If there's anybody who's listening to this who's ever flown commercial airlines... As you know, you have those micro bins over your heads, and people love to get in first so they can throw their luggage up on top so they're not squished. Some people bring enough luggage to put under the seats in front of them and up on top. And why don't you tell the folks about your experience and what you did to be comfortable on that trip and what happened?
So what I normally do, and, you know, I travel a reasonable amount of time. So my system is I get to the airport early. So I'm not in a rush to get through security or do what I need to do. But what I always do is I'll always check my bag, right? So I'll check my bag has, you know, whatever I need for the week. So this way it's one less thing that I have to bring on board the plane. And then it leaves room for other people. So in my mind, you know, if there are parents traveling with children and, you know, they've got bags for diapers and food and toys, in my mind, I'd rather see that whatever space is available be available for someone who needs it, someone who's traveling with medication or whatever the case may be. But the one thing that I have to bring on board is my laptop. So I'm kind of bound by company policy to travel with my laptop and documents that I'm bringing to work. Can't be out of my sight, you know, the whole rule and reg. So typically when I get on a plane, I'm not even allowed to use the facilities. I get in my seat, my bag is near me, I don't move, it doesn't leave my sight. So that's my usual, you know, that's my usual stuff that I'll bring on board the plane. So, you know, in usual airline fashion, no one wants to pay to check, which I understand. Listen, airlines are charging for everything now. So people feel obligated to bring as much as they can.
Now, you checked the bag, right?
Correct. I did. Yes, I did. I paid my $25. I checked the bag when I got to the airport and then went on through security with just my my laptop bag.
Okay. And where'd you put your laptop bag?
I put my laptop bag in the overhead bin above my seat. So I was sitting on the aisle. I was lucky enough to get an aisle seat. And there was room in the bins above me, and I took my bag and I placed it in the bin above.
Now, tell us what happened.
So now what happens? Now the plane begins to fill up even more, and people are frantically searching for overhead space. So in the usual chaos, you know, common courtesies tend to go out of the window, and, you know, bags are just kind of being thrown around and people are jamming whatever they can, oversized or not, and multiple. And when last I checked, the airline rule was, you know, one personal bag plus a carry-on. So in my case, even with my bag, I'm one, but it's a small bag. And people are bringing, you know, two and three bags of varying sizes and just beginning to, you know, throw these things in the overhead. And obviously they make an announcement and they say, listen, it's a full flight. We'd be more than happy to check your bag for you. Obviously, at that stage, there would be no fee incurred. So if there was no room in the overhead, I would think that most people would take them up on that and say, you know what, there's no room in these overheads. Why am I going crazy? Let me just give it to them.
So and what happened?
They'll bring it. Go ahead, David.
So what happened?
So basically what happens is there are two one gentleman says, well, whose bag is this in this overhead? And he says it pretty abruptly, but I kind of let it go. And he's referring to my bag, and I said, that's my bag. And the gentleman says, could you remove it from the overhead so I can put my bag in there? And I said, no. I said, not to be a jerk, but I paid the check a bag. My laptop is in that bag. It's not going to fit under the seat in front of me, and I'd rather not step on it while it's in the aisle between me and the people sitting next to me. I said to him, once again, I don't want to be a jerk, but I paid the check a bag. I'd rather not remove it. Another person says, starts yelling a couple of feet away from him, that's ridiculous. You're breaking the rules. You're breaking the rules. We need to put our bags in there. You're breaking the rules. Flight attendant, flight attendant, this man is breaking the rules.
Talking about you.
Talking about me. And the flight attendant very nicely walks over, a very nice gentleman, says, listen, he's not breaking any of the rules. This is going to be a four-hour flight. Can't we all just get along? And the gentleman who yelled for the flight attendant begins to describe me in certain manners. But I kept my cool. I didn't let my New York shine. I sat there.
You should have given him some Brooklyn, Frank.
No. Well, because all I envisioned was, in my effort to actually, you know, kind of have a reasonable flight and obey the rules and, you know, I just envisioned myself being dragged off the plane. I'm like, these are one of those instances where even though you're doing the right thing, you're going to lose in some way, shape, or form. So I'd rather not have gone through that. So I said to the gentleman who was standing in the aisle, who, while he got a little bit excited, didn't choose to describe me in so many words, I said to him, listen, it's just my laptop in that bag. Take my bag and put it on top of yours. How about that? That's done. Everybody moved on. The guy who was describing me in certain ways continued to describe me for a period of time. I kept my cool, and we proceeded to now sit there for an extended period of time.
Well, thank you for sharing that. So man, that's a long story. So the bottom line is, you know, have common courtesy. If you have a large bag, I mean, check it. What's the big deal? Check the bag, especially, I mean, if you make it on the flight with an oversized bag and there's no room, like Frank said, they'll check it for free. You know? You can't expect other people to take their bags out of the overhead for your convenience. Anyway, it's been a very long weekend. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. And I went to a luncheon. Actually, it was Melrose's annual luncheon today. And you won't believe this, Frank. It's an annual luncheon, and they have it every year. It's amazing. I get to my car at the end of the luncheon with my daughter, Stephanie, and I notice on my dashboard there's an exclamation point lit up in red. I'm like, what the heck is that? It turns out that I have a screw on the sidewall of my tire. So luckily, on Northern Boulevard, there's a tire place that happens to be open this Sunday. And I pull in. There are six people standing in line in front of me. They do four cars at a time. There are already four cars on the lift, so that's like 10 people in front of me. And everybody is there for bent rims, flat tires, all caused by potholes. The potholes are crazy. For those of you who aren't living in New York City, you know, when the temperature fluctuates, as it has the last few weeks, from below freezing to 50 degrees, then it rains, and then it's below freezing, and then it's 50 degrees, potholes just appear out of nowhere. DOT has been doing a great job repairing major portions of the Grand Central Parkway because they listen to the show and they hear us complain. And the Daily News did an article on the potholes. In case you don't know, there's 6,000 miles of streets in New York City, and there have been hundreds of thousands of potholes. Now, the city, I believe, hired between 60 and 70 four-person crews that start before 7 o'clock in the morning, and by 8 o'clock, they're fixing potholes. Okay? They followed one particular crew, and let me just get this number for you. Oh, at one entrance to the LIE, there were 25 potholes. But by the end of the day, okay, they have dumped something like 6 tons of asphalt, okay, and filled 90-some-odd potholes. That's pretty good. 91 different potholes in 10 different locations using 6 tons of asphalt. So it's pretty incredible, you know, what's going on out there. And that's the reason I'm pretty much unprepared this evening. I just got to the beautiful Melrose Studios overlooking, where are we overlooking, Frank?
The beautiful, picturesque Van Wyck Expressway.
Oh, is that a beautiful highway? My God. You know, it should be a postcard that says New York City traffic at its worst. They've been working at the intersection of the Grand Central Parkway and the Van Wyck to get this this intersection fixed. It seems like eternity. And it will be eternity. So last week I announced the MTA prices for buses and subways did go up. And, Frank, what's the cheapest bus and subway in New York City? The cheapest price you remember. For everybody, right now it's $2.75 to get on a bus or get on a subway in New York City. How far back can you remember?
Wait, is that with or without a bus pass? If it was with a bus pass, I can remember 25 cents.
25 cents. And what would it have been if you didn't have a bus pass, do you know?
I think it would have been a dollar.
So that was like 1986?
That was like 1986, that's right.
Okay. Well, from 1953 to 1966, it was 15 cents. And I remember the 15 cents. Sign being on those little boxes that they had right in front of the bus drivers.
You must have saw that at a museum. There's no way you could remember that firsthand.
That's right. I'm only 16 years old.
That's right.
But it hit $1 in 1986. You know, that was like a record since the subways opened in 1904 at 5 cents. So it took something like 82 years to get to a dollar. And then it took another, 17 years to get to $2.30.
We're getting better.
Yeah, we're getting better. And from, 2.30 in 2003, and now it's 2.75. So it's, 45 cents more over the course of 12 years. That's not too bad. You know, but it's still 2.75. And a lot of people aren't happy with that. Because the MTA, this all reverts back to what we were talking about, the congestion pricing plan. It's not the true congestion pricing plan originally that the Bloomberg administration wanted. They wanted every time a car passed by 60th Street going into Lower Manhattan, they wanted an $8 charge. Every time a car, I should say a vehicle, any vehicle, went below 60th Street, $8. You came across any bridge from the 59th Street bridge down, $8 a shot. And that, they felt, would limit the amount of traffic that went into downtown Manhattan. The garage lobby was totally against that, because you know there's no place to park except garages, basically. By the way, I know a little Polish. You know what a garażki is?
No, what?
It's the thing you use to open your garage. Come on. Council member Vaca, who's been on the show before, he used to be the head of the Transportation Committee, maybe it isn't so surprising, but he threw his support behind this new congestion pricing proposal. There's no fee of $8 to go over the bridges to get into Lower Manhattan or to go below 60th Street, but there is a new toll being requested for each and every free bridge right now. That's the Brooklyn Bridge, Manhattan Bridge, Williamsburg Bridge, and the 59th Street Bridge. They want to put tolls on it, okay? And they're calling it the Move New York Fare Plan. Semantics. It's a congestion pricing plan. And what they're doing is to entice you, they're going to lower the tolls a little bit on bridges like the Whitestone, the Verrazano Bridge, which just went up to $16. So, you know, they've been raising them every couple of years. Now they say, oh, we're going to reduce it if you agree to let us put tolls on those other bridges. You remember Senator Avella on the show saying it's nothing less than a tax on the people. And it is a tax. And it hurts the lower class, the middle class. I mean, it hurts people who are living month to month. I mean, I just figured out what I spend in tolls. I spend $25 a day in tolls. I'm like, where is all my money going? How come I can't afford to do certain things or to save any money? $25 a day is a lot of money to give to the Port Authority and the MTA. And those poor guys only are short $15 billion for their capital plan. So you know what we'll do? We'll charge the people who are specifically taking bridges where there's no toll to save some money. I wish I could take those bridges. I would. Our phone number here is 1-800-321-0710. That's 800-321-0710. And our email address is taxihail@AOL.com, taxihail@AOL.com. But I do want to say at the Melrose Luncheon today, the guest speaker was Councilmember Eric Ulrich, and he's the chairman of the Veterans Committee. What a compelling speech he gave. It brought a tear to my eye. He was talking about veterans, and you don't realize how many veterans are there. I mean, he said, how many veterans are here from various wars? I mean, scores of people stood up. And it was really about the respect or the lack of that veterans used to get, and that they, you know, people just don't respect them sometimes. And he asked, if you see them, somebody in uniform, if you see somebody with a hat on from any of the wars, just say thank you. Just say thank you. Many of them come back, and he gave a statistic, 22 veterans a day commit suicide. You come back to the United States, you have trouble getting a job. What jobs can you get? Many of them get minimum wage jobs. He was asking business people, please, hire veterans. Do what you can to help veterans. Go over to Borden Avenue in Long Island City and see the 180 men and women, the shelter there for homeless veterans. We need to support our vets, folks, and I thank all you vets out there for all your service. You know, the unsung heroes, unfortunately. Unsung heroes. Okay. Let me see what we got here. We have emails. We have some calls. So, Noah, hook us in with our first caller. Mike, you're on the Taxi Dave Show.
Good evening, Taxi Dave.
Good evening.
I have a suggestion and a comment, if I may.
You may.
The suggestion is I'm a taxi driver for a long time and owner and driver. And the way I see our yellow cab business is going, not a good way. I think time has come for the TLC to be split. Have a special commissioner for taxi to always listen to our complaint and defend us.
You want the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission to have a taxi commissioner? What do you thought?
Yes.
I don't understand. What do you mean, specifically for yellows?
Specifically for yellow, to care about our problems. It seems to me the general commissioner for all the transportation have too much to handle and not enough time to see what's happening to us. I mean, we're going down the drain, and there is no enforcement. There is everybody is chipping into eating our own pies, getting shrinking and shrinking and shrinking.
What do you mean everybody is eating your own pie? Can you explain that to our listeners?
All these apps, Uber, Lyft, every now limousine is having their own apps, and our business is being chipped away. And nobody is defending us. Everything sounds good. The bicycles, the narrowing of the road, that we're going so slow, we can only make the minimum no matter how we cut the pie. We're going to JFK with a flat rate that the average ride now takes an hour and 20 minutes, and you wait there for at least an hour to go and pick up and come back. It doesn't pay for us anymore. We can't make money. There's nobody feeling our pain, and we're going down slowly.
Well, it's funny you say that because I know a number of associations have met with the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission. Many of them have discussed some of the very problems that you bring to light here tonight, Mike. And maybe you're right. Maybe that is the answer. You need a specific complaint person for complaints to look into complaints. I mean, certainly there's 311 if someone wants to complain about a taxi driver. But if you want to voice your opinion and complain, you know, there are hearings, but there are specific items on the agenda. So you just can't get up there and speak publicly about what you want. But what I would do is speak to your local council member, senator, or assembly person, and tell that person what's going on in your feelings. And believe me, they will contact the taxi commission, and you'll get some type of response and some type of action, I would hope.
And
Frank, what do you think about this?
Listen, you know what? It's a good point. You need to have. Listen, I agree that at the end of the day, the pie is only so big, and it does get chipped away at. And I think at the end of the day, everybody has to feel like someone is specifically listening to their concerns. And David brought up a good point, David, and that is, you know what? We all voted. Everybody who came went out and voted for your local assemblyman or congressman. You know what? You put these people in office. Pick up the phone. Reach out to these people. Express your opinion, express your concerns, and let's see what happens.
And may I have a comment? Hello?
What if I say no? Of course. Well, come on, spit it out, Mike.
Okay.
We only have an hour show here.
As far as the tolls on the bridges, tell me what you think about that. If they put toll on these bridges, the taxi business is completely out of business.
You think if they put tolls on those four free bridges, the yellow taxi business is out of business?
Yes, because we're already burdened 50 cents and 30 cents, and then add toll to the customer, the price will be too high. We won't even be able to ask for raise, increase, or anything. We will not be able to meet our own cost and our, you know, what it costs us to be in business.
Maybe we have to find some type of way to get an exemption for yellow cabs.
Maybe. Then, if that's the case, that's another story. But if they put toll on the bridges, what it seems to me, another secret plan to kill the yellow cab, you know, we are dead. We're all filing bankruptcy and abandoning our cabs, and that's it. With no more money.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. I think too many people have invested too much money in this industry. Too many families depend on the livelihoods of taxi drivers and the taxi industry. And I think everybody is going to do the best and the most they can so this industry survives, thrives, and is not put anywhere except in a successful mode for continued success. That's just my personal opinion, and I believe it, Mike. I really believe it. Thanks for listening to the Taxi Dave Show and calling in. Just to let you New Jersey folks know, your DOT in New Jersey spent $105 million for salting and plowing and de-icing so far this winter. I'm saying so far because I heard Long Island on Saturday had 6 inches of snow. Good for you. Now you know what it's like to live in Orange County, folks. They've used about 400,000 tons of salt in New Jersey, but last year they used 200,000 more tons. So it's not a big year. But still over $100 million and a lot of salt. Just figured I'd mention that for you New Jersey folks. So my flat tire is fixed. I'm glad to hear it. And on that note, I have to tell you about the jerks I ran into on the way up here. You know, you stay in the middle lane. You're on a state highway, the New York State Thruway. And You know, and also the Long Island Expressway, the Cross Bronx, there's three lanes on all these highways. Why do some young drivers feel it necessary to floor their cars, floor, you know, put the gas pedal, the pedal to the metal, all the way down, from the right lane, to cut over through, across the center lane, into the left lane? So they go across three lanes of traffic, they roll up a couple of hundred feet, and then they do it the opposite way, across the middle lane, into the right lane again. It's like they're ice skating, and no regard, no signals, no regard for other cars, and that's how people die. All right? That is how people die. So I just want to let you know that Vision Zero, so far there have been 42 deaths. It is a reduction. 42 people have died this year so far. 24 pedestrians, 9 drivers, 7 passengers, 1 cyclist. Last year at this time, 50 people had died in crashes. So, you know, eight less than last year. So it's kind of working. And you know what Vision Zero is. The red light cameras, reducing the speed limit to 25, redesigning intersections, public awareness campaigns, and a lot of enforcement. And as Mike was saying, maybe the reinforcement needs to be readjusted here a little bit. But enforcement about dangerous driving violations. So Vision Zero is kicking in. When we come back, we have some more phone calls. I'll read some of your emails. Okay, this is the Taxi Dave Show. This is the place to be Sunday night. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Attention Uber drivers. Have you made the money promised to you by Uber? Are you concerned about declining income as Uber keeps adding thousands of drivers to increase its profits at your expense? There is an alternative. Yellow taxi drivers can earn as much as $6,000 a month after expenses. Come back to the yellow taxi industry and get the income, dignity, and respect you deserve. Certain vehicle owners can take advantage of the Taxi and Limousine Commission's new pilot program and convert their licensed black car to a licensed yellow taxi. The program ends on April 20th, so stop paying Uber your hard-earned money and act today. To find out if you qualify, call 718-707-3611 or visit committeeforTaxiSafety.com. That's 718-707-3611 or committeeforTaxiSafety.com.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Looks like me, yeah. Look back at a man, don't scream and shout. So take my
man, sounds like Stevie Ray Vaughan and Elvis all wrapped into one. We'll have our special musical guest a little later, Jason D'Amico. Anyway, this is the Taxi Dave Show. I'm Taxi Dave. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Mike, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Taxi Dave and Frank, the airline vigilante. You know, that's when you need a guy like, what was it, from The Sopranos, Paulie Walnuts, to take the laptop and do like the El Kabang move, you know?
You're not kidding, but there's only that only gets you one way, only one place on an airline these days, and that is kicked off.
Yeah, that's the. I think we're thinking of the old school, simpler time there. But I remember one time my father, we were on an airplane when I was a kid. We were going out to California, and I had asthma. So there was a guy smoking a cigar behind me, and my asthma was affected. So my father asked him nicely once. The second time, he jumped over the seat, grabbed the buyer by the collar, hit him once, and the cigar was out. But that was a while ago. And I'm not telling anybody to do that, but just saying it happened, you know?
Remind me never to smoke a cigar in front of you.
No, in front of me, that's okay. But listen, I just speaking of which, it's kind of a good segue into the taxi business stories here. I just want to talk about this fare increase discussion on April 2nd, because we really have to get some structure to the rate of fare. And the guy who called in before me is 100% dead on with that JFK flat rate. I think the flat rate ship has sailed, because
how much is it now? How much does it cost now to go from JFK to Manhattan or vice versa?
Oh, my God. It's a frozen $52 to JFK from Manhattan and vice versa, plus the toll. So with the you call it the Van Wyck Expressway, I call it the one week expressway in front of your office. I think they're just it's like an inside joke. You got people, tourists coming from Kennedy Airport, they go on the 1 week expressway, and all the poor cabbies are stuck on $52, rain or shine, whether it takes 20 minutes or 20 years, it's $52. So they have to look at that, because the $52 thing originated because of a handful of morons who must have been degenerate gamblers ripping people off from Kennedy. But now that we have the GPS and all this eye-in-the-sky stuff, they can see if someone's ripping off a tourist, and they can get the tourist money back and throw the cabbie out of the business quickly without the burden of a $52 flat rate fare for 14,000 cab drivers who are losing their minds because of it.
All right, so what do you think the fare should go up to? I mean, $65? Does that sound fair?
$350. No, I don't. I'm kidding. I think, well, first of all, if I had a quick structure, I would say raise the waiting time because of all the construction going around the city. And because of Vision Zero wants people to drive slower, we should have had a fare increase adjustment when they lowered the fare, the speed limit. By 20%. The waiting time right there, as soon as those signs went up for 25 miles an hour, the waiting time should have went up 20%, because that's how you get cabbies to slow down, incentivize them to drive slower. And because I'll tell you one thing, that's an excellent on-air, on-the-fly point. When you have a fare increase, a fare of $52 flat rate, and you've been stuck in traffic for an hour, soon as you see a little daylight, you're going to hit the gas. So that incentivizes reckless driving. I would say a flat rate incentivizes reckless driving versus a fare that is a waiting time thing where everybody wins, everybody loses on the same level playing field. Am I talking too much?
No, actually, what you're saying makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see the on regular fares, on the small fares, that first drop increased. You know, it's been you know, other segments of the industry, I mean, you know, 10 years ago they were saying, oh, we have a $6 minimum. You know,
yep.
You get into a yellow cab, it's a lot cheaper. And, you know, there are others who are not as reasonable. But
well, I'll tell you the other thing is a lot of cabbies on the cash fares get stiffed on the surcharge part because they have, on the right side, it's a dollar rush hour surcharge.
The right side of what?
On the meter. On the left side you have, like, the standard fare calibration. And on the face of the meter on the right side, you have the dollar plus the 50 cents plus the 30 cents. And at rush hour, it says $1.80. A lot of people don't know what that 180 means. They don't know if it's 1.8 or if it's $1.80 because it's not incorporated into all the fare. So I know a lot of times we get beat on that little bit of extra money on the right side of the meter face versus the main fare that's on the left side. I apologize for people listening in who don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but the cabbies know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but, well, we have to make it multi-city friendly.
Multi-city friendly, yes.
Let me ask you something. Have you noticed traffic moving a little better in the daytime? Have you been driving in the daytime at all? I'm saying this weekend, because Steve just sent us an email. Did anyone notice this weekend, like yesterday, all city bikes were halted for maintenance. It made a noticeable difference to me in the traffic flow throughout Manhattan.
Well, Dave, this is going to be your fault if I start screaming for 20 minutes. You're talking about bicycles now. Once you start talking about bicycles, I lose my mind.
Why? What's wrong with bicycles in the street, people without helmets, and what's wrong with that?
Well, first of all, Mayor de Blasio, back in the day, said he was going to register the bicycles. We should look into insuring the bicycles, especially the commercial bicycles, because these guys want to get hit. They want to get hit. I've had like 5 times over the weekend when I was driving where I looked in the rearview mirror, the passenger had an easy way to get out of the cab, and sure enough, the bicycle delivery nut weaves around the safe side to go beelining into where my passenger is getting out because he wants to sue me or at the very least wants to get $100 to go away. So I'm wondering, at what point do we get to sue the restaurants because they've unleashed a wacko onto our fair streets? So I think the City Bike thing, I am a card-carrying member of City Bike. I have to have full disclosure. But some people just don't know how to ride a bicycle. I mean, some people don't know how to turn off a light switch. But you got to register the bicycles, especially for these delivery guys, because it's a free-for-all out there, Dave. And I just want to say, before I blab too much, what is happening on April 2nd with this meeting with the TLC?
If you want to talk about a rate of fare increase, I guess that's the place and time to do it. I'm not sure, to be honest with you, because I'll be away this week. I'll be out of town this week. I haven't been following it. But if that is the hearing for a rate of fare increase, you go down, you sign up, and you talk the talk. Say what you will. Say what you need to. Say what you feel about a rate increase. Is it necessary? If you think it is, how? And why? Explain it to the commissioners. You have a website you wanted us to mention on the air.
Yes, nyctaxinews.com. It's nyctaxinews.com. And I just want to say, first of all, Dave, you have emerged as the industry leader at top of the food chain here, because I've seen a lot of so-called industry leaders going by the wayside. I've been reading the newspapers, and some of these so-called industry leaders didn't exactly have a great week of news going for them. But you have become a beacon, a shining example of what industry leadership should be. That goes for you too, Frankie. I see you over in the corner there.
Hey, Frank, give him the $20 he promised.
Listen, it may have to be 50 now.
Yeah, give me the laptop. I could use that one too. But I just want to say thank you. You have a great show. You're the number one show. Why do you keep saying you're the number one show? For God's sakes, tell people you're the number one show on Sunday night in New York City. Not everybody can say that, bro.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, well, listen, good luck, guys.
Thanks for calling the Taxi Dave Show. Here's an email from Pat. Lots of good topics tonight. As long as street hails are easily attainable in New York, the yellow taxi industry won't go anywhere. I want the tolls free on the bridges. I want the tolls on the bridges, on the free bridges, if the yellows are exempt, so I can get around easier during rush hour and pick up more fares in a typical shift. All right, that's from Pat. We have a number of calls. I've been lax on, so Noah, let's take the next caller. Marco, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hey, Dave. Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, this is Marco. I met you before. I met you at your office. I'm in my cab right now, and I heard you mention something about the veterans. I've been thinking about this for a while. How about maybe we get some of these veterans that qualify in the, like, some of these taxi stores and get them jobs as cab drivers? They're disciplined, they're well-behaved, they're American. What do you think of that?
I think veterans would make excellent cab drivers. There was an article in the paper a couple of months ago about one veteran who was driving a cab. And you know what? I'm not sure. I'm going to have to call the Taxi and Limousine Commission. There may be a streamlined process for them to get hack licenses, but I'm not sure about that. Maybe someone will send me an email or a text while I'm on the air right now. But I think it's an excellent idea. They're out of work. We need drivers.
Yeah.
So one hand can wash the other. Marco, excellent idea. Excellent idea.
Let's push it.
Well, I want to thank you for listening and coming up with that great idea on the Taxi Dave Show. Do we have Frank?
Hi, Dave.
Yes.
Hi. My statement is that if you stay at 12 miles an hour or greater, you only pay for distance. When you slow down under 12 miles an hour, you pay for time as well. I went to ask the meter shop about that, and they really didn't know how to respond to my question.
It's what 50 was your question?
Well, my question to the meter shop was, when are you paying for time as well as distance? How does that equation work? If you stay over 12 miles an hour, you're only paying for distance. You come under 12 miles an hour, and the clock starts to tick on the 50 cents a minute. It's 50 cents by 60 is $30. $2.50 a mile for an hour. If you drive 12 miles an hour at $2.50 a mile, you get $30. So that's the threshold. You stay over 12 miles an hour, and you're only paying for distance.
And what's your point?
Well, the point is people start to fret when you slow down, and they may not be as nervous about things if they know that
they're not paying for the distance, you know, they're paying for the waiting time.
Yeah, it brings the stress down a little bit. Besides a good friendly conversation, knowing something about the meter helps people think a little more about their ride and how much their value for the ride.
Are you a driver?
Yeah, 43 years in the job, Dave.
I was going to ask you, 43 years?
Yes.
My God, yeah. My God. Has it been good to you and your family?
Oh, it's been good to me. My father, before he passed on, helped me own the medallion. Otherwise, I wasn't going to get a chance at it. So he got me invested. I went to Pearland, and they got me invested in 2007. And it's been a godsend ever since. It's given me a chance to have a life.
Not a bad career?
Yeah. I'm enjoying it, having fun with it, and staying safe as possible, always watching, taking notes. When we merge, we should also try to use our directional when you're merging, if you can.
Yeah, we hear a lot of that. Hey, guys, if you're merging, if you're changing lanes, you know, what did that guy say last week? That little stick on the left, you know, if you want to change lanes, you're supposed to use that stick on the left.
The other day, I had somebody going from the far right to go to the left turn lane. He had to go across two lanes to get to the left turn lane. And my lane was evaporating, and I was needing to move to the right. So it was that point where he wasn't spatially noting where I am, where he is, was closing in quicker than he could have expected. And yet that's a possibility for an accident. So, but if he saw my directional on, he might have been able to be more calculating about being safe. And so we didn't have a problem, but it was a very stressful moment.
Thanks for listening to the Taxi Dave Show and for calling in. Okay, drive safe out there. And thanks for telling everybody your story. And calming the passengers down and telling the drivers to use their signals. When we come back, I have a little more news. We'll take a call or two, maybe read an email or two. It's up to you. 800-321-0710, taxihail@aol.com. And our special musical guest, Kid Wonder, Jason D'Amico. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Stay tuned for more Taxi Dave.
Why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Attention Uber drivers. Have you made the money promised to you by Uber? Are you concerned about declining income as Uber keeps adding thousands of drivers to increase its profits at your expense? There is an alternative. Yellow taxi drivers can earn as much as $6,000 a month after expenses. Come back to the yellow taxi industry and get the income, dignity, and respect you deserve. Certain vehicle owners can take advantage of the Taxi and Limousine Commission's new pilot program and convert their licensed black car to a licensed yellow taxi. The program ends on April 20th, so stop paying Uber your hard-earned money and act today. To find out if you qualify, call 718-707-3611 or visit committeeforTaxiSafety.com. That's 718-707-3611 or committeeforTaxiSafety.com.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable. But how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Sunday night, this is the Taxi Dave Show, brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. In case you didn't know, the Rockefeller Institute of Government in New York State found that gambling revenue in 2014, it weakened in all states that have casinos, but in New York, the revenue increased from lottery and racinos. It increased from $30 million in 2013 to $31.2 million in 2014. I know there are a lot of you slot sluts out there who were very interested in this information. Let's take one caller before our special guest, Jason D'Amico. Mike, another Mike. You're the third Mike for you're the trifecta. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Thank you, sir.
What can I do for you?
I have a question, sir. Why does New York City have an Uber?
Why does New York City have Uber?
Mm-hmm. When we have all the transportation in the New York City, like, for example, MTA, subways, we have taxis, we have black car service. And the second question is, if the New York City was thinking that people of New York City was having a hard time finding a yellow cab in the rush hours, or maybe surely Upper West Side or Upper East Side, instead of allowing Uber to provide their transportation and make competition with the yellow cab, or bring like 15,000 or 17,000 more cars into the city instead of putting yellow taxi?
Well, you bring up a couple of good points. Why New York City did it? You know, I don't know if it was New York City, if it was the thrill of technology. Technology's here to stay. It's going to continue to get better. You know, did you ever think you'd be using satellite phones, cell phones, videotaping movies on your phone? I mean, things just are happening at an incredible pace. And, you know, technology, a lot of techies prefer using an app to get transportation. Not to say that the yellow taxi industry, you know, isn't going to have an app. In fact, I understand that they're working on apps right now. A lot of different companies for the yellow taxi industry. So, you know, the thing that I think Kevin Moore from Connecticut said last week, he's the head of the Taxi and Livery Association there, you know, it's not really the technology that anyone's against. It's the unlevel playing field and the lack of regulation that is making it difficult for all segments of the industry to continue the way they are, because it needs to be equal. You know, starting January 2016, as yellow cabs retire, they have to be wheelchair accessible. Okay?
Right.
Some drivers don't want to drive those cars.
You know, right, my question is, like, now, like, every brokers or even the taxi limousine permission trying to make that app for all the drivers, or even for the yellow cab to get the passengers, so easy, making it easier for the people of New York City to find an easy cab, for example,
Mike, listen. I appreciate you listening to the Taxi Dave Show and calling in. Unfortunately, I need you to call in earlier. I need everybody to call in earlier. Now, all of a sudden, I have a full-lit switchboard. Always less than 10 minutes left to the show. So, listen, keep listening. I appreciate you. I appreciate your calls. You can call me in my office. I'll gladly speak to you anytime. We have an email from Mr. Sphere. Bicycles must be kept 4 feet from taxi doors. When taxi is at a full stop for pickups or drop-offs, the bikes must keep 4 feet away. Thank you for that. And now, who's been waiting very patiently in the wings, I went up to Orange County Choppers. Not to buy a motorcycle, not to look at a motorcycle, but some of you don't know, they have a stage there, and they have a restaurant there. And weekends, they have different bands there and different musical guests. So I went up to see Slam Allen, one of the greatest living blues guitarists there is, and this young kid was playing before him. I walked in, I said, ah, who's that kid? Let me just sit down. And he started playing, and he got my attention immediately. I mean, do you ever sit at a bar and not face the bar, just turn around? Like, who is this kid? He's 21 years old. He's a child prodigy. He became the youngest member of the Duke University Jazz Ensemble at age 15. And last year, he was a solo winner for the Triangle Blues Society Blues Challenge. You might have heard the music in and out of the bumpers. It sounds a little bit like Stevie Ray Vaughan. His influences, certainly Mr. Vaughan and Albert King and Eric Clapton, Buddy Guy, etc. So right now, I'd just like to introduce Jason D'Amico. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
What can I say, Dave? It's a pleasure to be here. And I am a new, very adoring fan of the show. I never knew you existed until about 24, 48 hours ago, and I'm glad that we met.
Nothing like self-promotion, man. Your mom knows all about that. why don't you tell us, first of all, tell us where you're playing, because you're going to get a chance to see Jason in Manhattan. And for those of you in the lower Hudson Valley, you're going to get another chance to see him, actually. So tell everybody your dates and your locations first.
Sure, sure. If you're up in the, Orange County area, proximity of upstate New York, Hyde Park specifically, the Hyde Park Brewery, April 3rd, 9 p.m., I think we have a three-hour set, so 9 to 12. And then we have a big show that we're doing at Midtown Live. That's Midtown Live in Midtown Manhattan, obviously. That's April 9th. Starting at 7 p.m., we have a three-hour slot there as well. And we'll be there, just having a good time, playing some blues, some rock, originals, and some covers.
How the heck did you get to learn to play guitar so well? Who was your instructor?
Honestly, I don't know. I blame God for all of it because I'm a drummer. I started playing drums when I was four. And from the time I was four, I was listening to Grand Funk Railroad and the Beatles. Well, I think we discussed this kind of briefly up at Orange County Choppers, after the set. And, I mean, it just kind of, it was like wildfire from there. I grew up in a very musical household. I was always, my parents saw, that at a young age I was very inclined to music, into the arts. And
did you have a teacher for guitar, or are you a self-taught guitarist?
Self-taught. It was kind of
it's amazing. It amazes me that you've never taken a lesson and you play the way you do.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm still trying to figure the instrument out. I've only been playing it for, 9 or 10 years. I still don't know what I'm doing. I've changed my technique 4 or 5 times in the last 3 years. So, it's constant maneuvering and constant course correction, it seems like. Life is a torturous type of venture sometimes, but it's worth it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a fine young man, okay? I don't know many people who at 1 in the morning will be at Orange County Choppers playing guitar with their mothers. This is a good kid and a great, great musician. If you get a chance, if you like rock and roll, if you like the blues, you have to go see Jason D'Amico. So is there anything else you want to tell our listening audience before you go?
I actually have a story that
I hope it's a taxi story.
It is a taxi story, and it's actually pretty recent. It was about 9 months ago, I think, or a year ago. It's somewhere within that time frame. I know we're running out of time. I'll keep it as short as possible.
Until if I want a long story, I'll ask Frank.
Hey now.
it's pretty short and to the point, and it still enrages me to this day. But basically what ended up happening was I have very graciously a mentor. His name's Hayden Wayne. Shout out to him. Guys, you want to talk about somebody who's taught me how to sing, he's one of the guys, for sure. But he's You know, he's just been one of the most talented cats in my life.
So tell the story. We're running out of time.
Yeah, graciously, he gives me his apartment up on the Upper West Side. I was commuting for something. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, I had to get down to Grand Central. And what ended up happening was I was going to take the A or C train, but was running out of time. And I was like, oh, hell, a cab. So I get this guy a cab, and basically what ends up happening is, tell him, hey, Grand Central. All right, puts the meter on, we start driving. We're blowing past from, you know, I get in at 86, you know, 72, you know, so I'm seeing all these, you know, 58 going down. And what ends up happening is I arrive at the bus terminal and Penn Station. I go, yo, it's the wrong stop. No, it's not. Oh, what are you talking about? Literally, it becomes, you know, it became a shouting match. I don't like yelling at people. I'm not that type of person, but I was enraged. I couldn't believe this guy was trying to tell me that. He blamed it on me, saying that I didn't tell him how to get to Grand Central. Now, I'm not making this up. Like, I'm...
Well, thank you for that wonderful story. I really appreciate it, Jason. hey,
so,
listen.
Yeah.
Is that the end of the story? Because I got 30 seconds left.
It can be, yeah.
All right. Hey, listen, Jay. Ladies and gentlemen, go see Jason D'Amico. Thanks for being on the Taxi Dave Show. Here's an email from Steve real quick. All bicyclists should have ID tags similar to EasyPass toll tags, so when they run red lights, the city could track their violations. That's very good. And also, Mike from JFK, he forgot to give a shout-out to all great New Yorkers who stepped up during the building collapse in the East Village. Amen to that. We're all New Yorkers. We're one family. Frank, thanks a lot for coming on and not missing another flight this week. And what could I say? We'll be here every Sunday night. I'm Taxi Dave. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. And I got to go now. Hey, taxi! Take me to go see Jason.
Who never thought it would be this way?
This has been a podcast from WOR.